Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Friday, November 29th, 2019. Sudan's transitional government overturns a bill about the way women dress.
The first law simply, it abolishes all the Public Order Act, which we are all aware that it has oppressed many families in Sudan.
And some Yei River State lawmakers get into a row involving national security.
There was a simple mistake that was actually made by the director of the security, national security, without us knowing exactly why he has acted with our concern.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Sudan's transitional government overturned a moral policing law that criminalized certain types of clothing that women wear and drinking alcohol. It also moved to dissolve the country's former ruling party, carrying out two key demands of Sudan's pro-democracy protesters. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Sudan's Justice Minister Nasreddin Abdulbari says abolishing the Public Order Act and disbanding the National Congress Party is, in his words, a big achievement for Sudan's revolution. Speaking in Arabic, Abdulbari says many Sudanese families have been subjected to beatings, harassment, and even imprisonment under the Public Order Act.
The first law simply, it abolishes all the Public Order Act, which we are all aware that it has oppressed many families in Sudan, and specifically the vulnerable groups. Some of them have experiences that are horrible to hear during the implementation period.
Abdulbari says 11 members of the Sovereign Council and 23 members of the cabinet voted to suspend the National Congress Party and to freeze all of their assets.
This law is meant to fragment the National Congress Party specifically, which will allow the government to confiscate and apprehend all financial assets and property which have been owned by the party and divert them to the account of the Ministry of Finance.
Rights groups say the Public Order Act targets women and is an outdated law left over from the 30-year rule of ousted President Omar al-Bashir. Speaking in Arabic, Khartoum resident Mashair Ramadan says the action proves that the transitional government is serious about carrying out reforms.
I regard this move as the first positive step towards building a civilian government in Sudan. This will reform a lot in our society to provide the basic human rights and lift the oppression from citizens. This is a good step, but we are still waiting for more so that we feel that our revolution has won.
Rights activist and Khartoum resident Amira Osman Hamid says while overturning the Public Order Act is a good thing, other provisions in Sudan criminal code should be abolished, which is still allow authorities to oppress women.
For me, I don't think this law has been abolished because articles from 152 to 155 of Sudan's criminal act still exist, and they could be using them to oppress and violate human rights. So I don't think anything has been changed.
Yesterday, a group of Sudanese women activists in Khartoum also say that abolishing the Public Order Act does not alone solve the problem facing women in the country. Article 24.3 of the constitutional document states that until the Legislative Council is formed, the Council's powers are invested in the members of the Sovereign Council and the Cabinet, who exercises them in a joint meeting and take decisions by consensus or a two-thirds majority of members. This is the first joint meeting of both councils to make decisions over the country's laws since the formation of the Sovereign Council more than 3 months ago. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
The deputy governor of Yei River State says the director of the national security stormed the state's parliament on Thursday to question a lawmaker for speaking to the media over a vote of no confidence against the state's finance minister. Yusto Baba says he intervened to control growing tensions between lawmakers and the state national security chief, who threatened to arrest vocal lawmakers who questioned the finance minister over allegations of corruption. Waki Simon Wudu has that report for VOA from Juba.
Yei River state lawmakers passed a vote of no confidence on state finance minister Lona Sadia over 50 million South Sudanese pounds, the equivalent of $319,000 that is allegedly missing from state coffers. Yei River State Deputy Governor Yusto Baba says the move by the Director of the National Security to harass lawmakers is not in line with the government procedure. He says the Chief of National Security in Yei River State took the law into his hands.
There was a simple mistake that was actually made by the Director of the Security, National Security, without us knowing exactly why he has acted with our concern. First, I think when I heard of the problem, I was in the cabinet meeting, and then I tried to find out exactly what happened. And what I found out was the security director wanted to call for the chairperson for information in the parliament to ask him what happened that he went to the media and to talk about the vote of no confidence that unanimously the parliament come out with to the honorable minister of finance.
Baba says it was wrong for the national security to interfere with the work of state lawmakers, and the summoning of lawmakers violates the rules of conducting business in state parliament.
That it is not a procedure, because that guy is acting on his duty in explaining the conclusion of the resolution that came out from the parliament. We as a government, we have no any problem, because the information he made in the media did not intimidate anybody. It did not even challenge the government, but he was only explaining the resolution of the parliament. So I called the director down. I talked to him. I told him he should stop even interviewing that guy. If there is a problem, we will be the one to call him.
For the last 2 weeks, tensions have been rising between the state parliament and the executive over the lawmakers' demand for accountability regarding the alleged misuse of public resources by the top leadership of the state. South Sudan in Focus placed several phone calls to the Speaker of Yei River State Legislative Assembly, Naptale Hassan Gale, for comment, which went unanswered. Yei River State Minister of Information Mawa Moses released a statement today saying the state government is addressing the matter, including the vote of no confidence taken against the finance minister. It said lawmakers have given the finance minister 1 month to either resign or the state governor would remove the minister from office. Baba says lawmakers want the finance minister to account for money used by a state government delegation that visited the Democratic Republic of Congo earlier this month.
One of the problems, the issue is the 50 million that was received as a grant from the National Ministry of Finance, and the Parliament was asking the minister to explain how this money is distributed. So the minister could not answer well. It means because he was not prepared how this money was received and then banked and then distributed from the bank or paid out from the bank to which institution says it was not ready to answer that question. So that was one of the issues that the parliament requested her to explain, to fail.
South Sudan in Focus also placed several calls to the finance minister for comments, but her phone was switched off. The ruling SPLM lawmakers at the National Legislative Assembly had called for the Speaker of the National Assembly, Anthony Lino Makana, to resign over alleged mismanagement of funds. Makana told the lawmakers he would only resign if President Salva Kiir ordered him to do so. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
A top military officer with the South Sudan Defense People's Forces has dismissed a recent UN panel of experts report identifying him as a direct beneficiary of illegal teak logging in Torrid State. Lieutenant General Johnson Juma Okot, SSPDF Deputy Chief of Defense for Logistics and Procurement, says the report is ill-intentioned and aimed at tarnishing his reputation, particularly his loyalty to the Army. The Suba memo has the details for VOA from Juba.
In its recent report, the UN panel of experts says General Johnson Juma Okot is one South Sudan's leaders who is looting the country's natural resources. In an interview with South Sudan in Focus at military headquarters built from Friday, General Okot described the report as, quote, absurd and bad.
If my name comes in a particular case like what happened in Nimule, then it is absurd. It is bad because this indicates that the person who collected the data is aware that I'm the one commanding the Tiger Forces on the roadside. I'm not commanding the Tiger Forces on the roadside. I am not a party to the logging that happened in the area. And therefore, this one qualify my statement that is a rubbish expert's collection. But if they had called my name as one of the command and control of the army, I would allow that because these are our forces. And then I would have still asked one question. Can they bring one evidence?
General Okot also describes the report as baseless and unfounded and demanded the UN experts show proof of his alleged looting. In the 33-page report, the experts say SSPDF and especially units of its Tiger Division deployed in Moli area illegally cutting timber and taxing logging companies. Accord admits the Army leadership deployed forces with field commanders in those areas, but says the Army is not under his command. Accord owns a popular holiday lodge named after former U.S. President Barack Obama along the Juba-Nimule Highway. He says his visits to Magui County is not connected to teak logging in the area.
When I go there, I go to my home. I have my family, I have my farms, I do my farming in the village there. If they see me moving there, I don't move there because I'm going to supervise logging. I go there because I have my own home. I have my own families, I have my own farms. I and many other senior officers, we are involved in doing a lot of farming. So Ambassador John Andruga is there, Lambton is there, I'm there. We go home because we go home and cultivate. I have all my family facilities at Obama. I go there to supervise those activities. I don't go to supervise logs. And that's why I dismiss these allegations that are not true, because there's nothing relevant that connects me with the logging.
The report referred to Okot as a major general and the SSPDF head of administration and finance. He says the UN experts want to tarnish his image as a senior member of the army.
If they're experts of South Sudan, can they fail to know my rank, to know my experience in the army? These are not experts on South Sudan. These are people with a hidden agenda, maybe collusion with other people. They just want to find way to discredit the characters of very senior members of the army at this particular time.
The panel of experts said civilians in Magui County were harassed and the illegal logging of trees has left residents of the area with no income. Asked whether some of the field commanders and their juniors are involved in the teak logging, Okot says the army has yet to receive any evidence of that allegation.
Now for me, I've not seen a soldier brought by name, by accusation. I've not seen the logging. Now we are talking of something that has not been practically brought to the notice of the defense that there are individual soldiers, individual officers who are doing that.
According to the panel of experts report, the logs are mainly sold in neighboring Uganda for anywhere between $400 and $600 per log. For VOA News, I am Lasuba Memo in Juba.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Some South Sudanese soldiers are leaving their cantonment sites. Find out why when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what would you most likely to accomplish in life, and how close are you to achieving it?
My dream is to be one of the best filmmakers in Uganda and maybe in the world at large. With time and what I've done so far to achieve that, yes, I know I'm still very far, but I've written some scripts already.
To me, as a software developer, I still have a long way, but hopefully, God, I'll be able to make it.
I want to be a voice for the people who I meet and help people generally wherever I find myself. And I think that studying to become a lawyer is in the right direction to achieving that.
I would like to be a very, very great musician, composer. For now, I'm not close there, but I'm working to get to the level I can actually achieve that.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Some SPLA-IO soldiers in Yei River State have deserted a cantonment site, citing a lack of basic services there. A senior SPLA-IO field commander in Yei River State is urging the National Pre-Transitional Committee to allocate funds for implementing security arrangements before the second deadline to form a unity government expires in February. Daniel Friday Martin has more for VOA from Yei Town.
The Kendila cantonment site is one of the areas approved by the Joint Defense Board as an assembling point for screening the SPLA-IO forces around Yei River State before being transferred to a training center for a reunified national army. Some soldiers say conditions at the cantonment site are dire. Speaking in Arabic, a 37-year-old SPLA-IO rebel who identified himself only as Juma for fear of reprisal says lack of food, clean drinking water and medicines forced him to abandon the cantonment site. Juma says he did not plan to desert the army, but says he had to find a way to feed himself so he will begin farming the land.
There are people suffering in the cantonment because there is no proper feeding. For one to undergo good military training, it requires feeding and health care. Without basic need, it is hard for one to stay in the cantonment and barracks, and these are some of the reasons I have decided to return and settle around our former brigade division to produce my own food for life.
Juma says he would only return to the cantonment side if the NPTC provides funds to meet basic needs of the SPLA-IO forces. Elioba Taban is another SPLA-IO rebel. Speaking in Arabic, Taban says he and his colleagues left the cantonment area due to lack of commitment by the parties that signed the peace agreement to provide basic services to rebel forces assembled at various cantonment areas.
I am not happy because the cantonment site lacks funding and provision of clean water and medical services, and life is hard, and once there is provision of services, we shall all return to the cantonment site. The civilians and the military need peace so that children go to schools and things change for better.
This week, the chairperson of the National Pre-Transitional Committee told reporters in Juba that the government has transferred $40 million into the NPTC account to speed up implementation of the peace deal. Activists in Juba say, despite those pronouncements, the pledged $40 million never showed up in the account. The activists have launched a campaign dubbed "When Grows," which means "Where is the money?" The campaign is aimed at pressuring NPTC to be transparent. Brigadier General Sam Logeleng is the commander in charge of the SPLA-IO Division 2B in Panyume area. Speaking in Arabic, Logeleng is urging the NPTC leadership to prioritize the needs of the forces in cantonment sites before the 100 days of the extended pre-transitional period expires in February.
How can the peace process move forward if people want to sleep and waste money in the hotels instead of implementation of the provisions of the peace agreement? We don't have services in the containment sites and we need drilling of boreholes and provisions of tents. If these things are not considered in the security sector, this money will be a waste.
Logeleng says the Joint Military Committee should deliver all of the registration forms needed for the number of forces at the cantonment site before training begins of a unified national army.
The registration forms brought to us were for only 4,000 soldiers, and I am in need for more forms to register many of the forces in the assembly sites who have not been registered.
Brigadier General Peter Chol, commander of the SPLA-IO forces in Panyume, says the relationship between the SPLA-IO and government forces has improved over the past several months. He says both sides are committed to respecting the ceasefire. Speaking in Arabic, Brigadier General Chol calls on the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, to ensure the prompt release of SPLA-IO leader Riek Machar so that the peace deal can be fully implemented.
We know that a peace agreement has been signed and we demand our leader Machar be released from confinement so that he return to the country and boost the implementation of the peace agreement, and so far our relationship with the civilian is good.
Yeh River State is one of the areas in South Sudan hit hard by a fresh wave of deadly fighting that broke out in the capital Juba in 2016, which quickly spread to other parts of the country. Residents of the state fled to neighboring Democratic Republic of Congo and Uganda, seeking refuge. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yeh Town.
When AIDS was first identified more than 40 years ago, it was a death sentence. Since then, it has become a chronic but treatable disease. World AIDS Day on December 1st this weekend is a yearly observance to help make people realize that AIDS is still with us, and despite advances, the epidemic is far from over. VOA's Carol Pearson reports.
Communities around the world observe World AIDS Day with messages about awareness and prevention. The simplest method is always to use a condom during sex. In 2004, when health ministers first designated December 1st as World AIDS Day, they realized that, unlike other diseases, the HIV virus that causes AIDS could spread globally. Paul Kawada has been an AIDS activist since the very beginning, when people with AIDS died horrible deaths. He is still in the fight at NMAC, an organization formerly known as the National Minority AIDS Council.
And I was there in the early days. I was there when we both had to fight back and act out and also bury so many people that we loved.
Dr. Anthony Fauci has also been in the fight since the beginning. Fauci has been the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease since 1984. He's been involved in the development of treatments for HIV. Treatment is now so effective that if an infected person takes one pill a day, it's impossible to pass the virus to anyone else. 7 years ago, another drug became available that prevents uninfected people from getting the disease. It's called Truvada. Fauci says ending AIDS could be simple.
If you did those two things, treatment as prevention for those who are infected, pre-exposure prophylaxis for those who are at risk, if you implemented that to its fullest, theoretically you could end the epidemic just like that.
AIDS-related deaths are now down by more than 55% since the peak, but it's still with us. Kawada says gaps in treatment are the main reason.
We have to understand that HIV sits at the intersection of so much discrimination and stigma. First of all, it impacts predominantly people of color. Number two, it impacts predominantly gay men. Number three, it impacts predominantly poor people.
The majority of people with HIV in the U.S. are poor. The majority of people with HIV outside the U.S. live in low and middle-income countries. Teenagers everywhere are at risk. They have little access to testing, health care, and counseling. And that's why Fauci says we need something else besides medication.
We're not going to eliminate HIV without a vaccine.
Fauci says the work on vaccines is promising. But right now, the best tools are still getting people tested, getting those who are positive on therapy, and getting those at risk of becoming infected on therapeutics, and treating HIV as a disease, not as a political or moral or social issue. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
It is time for our listener comments, and once again, we heard from many of you about stories we aired previously this week. Aza Ori Onyi in Torit writes, I feel the need to share with South Sudan in Focus to educate the government and our communities to understand when we talk of a state, it should reflect a sovereign country and not an entity within a country. We, as a new country, need to adopt a system of common understanding. Alex Modiluka in Juba writes, hello, it's really a nice program. Staying a day without listening to VOA is a big challenge for me mentally. Abraham Juma Abel from Juba writes, hello, I have been a fan of VOA since 2016, and it's my first time connecting on VOA WhatsApp. I always enjoy your programs, and my request is may you change the time of news from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. I don't know about that, Abraham, but we'll look into it. Abraham also writes, we really extend hands of thanks as citizens of South Sudan to the United States government for standing with the suffering civilians of South Sudan who have no voice under their government. The government of South Sudan has the same character with the terrorist organization. The USA government should apply intensive pressure to the government of South Sudan. Niel Galaxy Adak and Boer writes, I choose VOA because it's my only source of daily, credible, and valid information. Thanks so much for keeping us frequently updated on current affairs of our country, South Sudan. Mal Adao Mal in the Jungle A capital, Bor, writes, hello, VOA. The idea of the U.S. calling back her ambassador was long overdue, and I personally agree with the U.S. government that the top leadership of South Sudan has no commitments and political will toward peace prevailing in the country. I urge the Americans to evaluate their relations with South Sudan thoroughly, and the $40 million released by the government last week should be channeled to what it is meant for, not into greedy individual pockets. Well, thanks for getting in touch with us and telling us what you think. We really appreciate all of your comments.
Yeah. They say all walk and no play. Makes me a dull boy.
That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Get Up by Emmanuel Jal.
From one place to another place. Hey, I get a chance sometimes. I make a few dollars sometimes. I'm thinking I deserve a night in the town, having fun with my friends around. Hey, I gotta get up.
We've been listening to South Sudanese superstar Emmanuel Jal with his song Get Up. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. Thanks for listening and have a peaceful weekend. Join us again on Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
I'm still stepping, please dance and excuse me, it's my weapon. I'm all good with most people I meet, even if your heart made of concrete. I know a girl named Gina, nicknamed Katrina, never worked in a lab, but she rolling in a Beamer. Brand new Beamer.